It is always good for me to be able to come here and to bring the word to people that I know well. I've known for most of you for many years, and rejoice. In picking the passage for today, I was really at odds. I went through four or five different passages that I thought this would be appropriate, this would be appropriate, and this was the last one that I landed on, and I said, no, I think this is most appropriate for this church. It is a trying time that we live in. It is a difficult season in our lives for most all of us. This has been a year that's been full of many hardships for many people. And but then again, we have many years like that. And I'm just going to, I usually don't do this. How many of you are facing trials and testings right now in your life? I just, go ahead. You can put your hand up. We can have interactive church at times, as long as we're not all teaching together. But I want us to look at this because this is the picture that we see here. It says, the very picture that we see in chapter 1 that I'll be looking at, verses 1 through 16, is where we see the picture of Christ as a living hope. He is a living hope, and he is indeed our sure salvation. Not our maybe. I had talked to somebody yesterday and talked about that a little bit. We have this surety in Christ that should ring out. So I want you just to pay attention today. This is not a great theological sermon in many senses, but I will be bringing out a number of different things that I think are worth considering here. And the whole gist of what I want you to see here is how God is indeed remaining forever in control of our life, that no matter what comes to pass in the days to come, the weeks to come, or the years, whatever we get, that our God is here. He is caring for us. He has loved us. And from the beginning, he has chosen us. So let me read, and then we'll pray, and then we'll dig into this a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, to attain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not know him, And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which now has been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Our Father God, again, we thank you for this day that you have given us, as has been expressed in prayers that have preceded this time. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with us, that you would give us ears to hear, that you would speak to us through the Holy Spirit, through your word today. Lord, to reveal to us the joy that we have in being Christians, the hope that we have, and knowing that you have purchased by your blood our very lives, and that we will have the joy of being with you in spite of how circumstances go on this earth, that we will be with you both now and for all of eternity because of the work that you have done. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, one of the first things I want to bring to your attention today in this, that in 1 Peter, and also if you turn back to 1 James, and we're not going to go there right yet, you'll see that these were written to the same people, those who were dispersed, who were scattered throughout the region, those who were Christians. And we're going through the main gist of this book. It touches on the various doctrines, and it has much to say about the Christian life and duties. It also speaks about the sufferings and the persecutions and the suffering for glory, for the glory of God. It speaks of the courage that we need to have as we live in this world today, because things are sometimes up and they're sometimes down. But we can't hope that things will get better and stay better, because they will for some people, but for others they may not. As was brought out earlier by Pastor Noah, that there are times where we look at the world and we look at what the blessings that seem to be poured out upon these people who don't love you, who hate you and reject you. And we see that and we wonder, well, what's going on? Well, basically God is dealing with people how he wants to. He's giving them some blessing and reserving it for others for a time yet to come. So your life in this earth may be great. It may not be as great as you would like it to be, but we do know. And keep this always at the forefront, that we will be with Christ through all of eternity, that we will delight in being in his presence and seeing God as we can, and in rejoicing continually in the work that he has done. So Peter, as he approaches these people, again, this is the same Peter that, again, Noah brought out, that he was, or I know was brought out, that he's the one that chopped off the ear. But he was also the one who proclaimed Christ. He was also the one who died for Christ. And we forget to see this sometimes when we're reading through these books. All these men died sacrificial deaths And they died hard deaths. They didn't die at home in their beds for the most part. In fact, John, just leave it there. But he writes this, and he proclaims himself first off as an apostle of Jesus Christ to those who reside as aliens, who are scattered now because of persecution. They're scattered throughout these whole areas. And then he says, he brings into all these Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen, who are chosen. And we saw that word used in two of the Psalms we sung today. I knew it was in 95, because I love that psalm and I sing it to myself so many times. But also, we see it in 65a, the same picture. And it speaks of this throughout the Psalms and throughout Scripture, that it is God. And we need to remember this, because even much of the church today rejects this idea, but hangs and clings to the idea that it is us that chooses God. And we indeed do, but we only do so after he does a work in our heart. Otherwise, we would continually reject God forever and ever. That's the human nature according to the fall. We are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. Did any of you catch it in there? This is one of those verses that brings out the fullness of the Trinity right to us. It's right there. It doesn't have one or two, but all three persons of the Trinity are involved here. So that he does this work through the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we, especially, might be able to obey Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. He points us out to him, and then he says, and this is the blessing, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest. And in looking at that one part where it speaks about this choosing, I want us to just turn over, you can if you feel like it, to Romans 8. I'm just going to look at a small passage in Romans 8 here. Romans 8:28. Let me read from 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And you know that God causes all things to work for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. I'll stop reading there. But again, just to point out this picture of God's choosing us, and choosing us with a reason, and choosing us with knowledge. Again, not knowledge of there's some goodness in any one of us that deserves to see his mercy and his favor, but by his knowledge of what he wants to do and how he wants to accomplish it. And we need to be aware of this. Some people think that at times we can make more of a specific doctrine than we should, and I guess we can. But we need to be reminded. We need to remind ourselves that in spite of our sinfulness, and we are still all sinners, each one of us, those who are newer to Christ and those who have been in Christ for decades, we still sin. And each and every one of those sins is worthy of eternal damnation. So we receive this blessing by God. And then he goes on in verse 3 and he says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, he already mentioned that part in 2 about this hope that we have in Christ Jesus. But he has caused us. He has not allowed us to come to him. He has caused us to be born again to this living hope through this resurrection of our Lord Jesus from the dead. And remember this, it was important that Christ died on the cross. It was important that he did this, and that he did this, and in doing so, during that period, he paid for our sins. But it's just important that he was resurrected from the grave. And Paul makes this clear and says, if there was no resurrection, how miserable beings we are. For there is no real hope then. Our hope is in him, in his birth, in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection from the dead. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I love the way that he phrases that. Very personal, not reserved in heaven for us, but reserved in heaven for you. He writes to the person there. God's mercy, and he even says it here, according to his great mercy. How sometimes do we think that God's not merciful enough with us? When we cry out, when things come into our lives and we go, God, how could you allow this to happen to me? And we all do it at one time or another, as if I deserve some sort of extended favor from God because I am his favorite after all. And trust me, I think we all think this, that I have a special place. Well, you do have a special place, but your special place is no better than other special places. We need to be reminded of this, the mercy that has been shown to us. And one way we can remind ourselves of this, that you don't even need anybody to help you, is you can just sit down and you can reflect on your life. And I'm not talking the good moments. I'm talking the moments where you know you've been against God. And not only those moments before Christ brought you into his kingdom, but those moments after. And we do our best to try to stop that flood sometimes. And yet, if we just open it up and we see how horrible we can be to a God who has been so merciful and kind to us. And even in those moments, we have hope. We have hope because he has said, I've done this in spite of all that you've done, in spite of all that you're going to do, if I give you another 10, 20 years of life. In the end, if you're in Christ, you are saved and you are loved and you are loved through it. It is hard to imagine a God who can see us as sinners, who knows our every thought, who knows our every motive, that he still loves us the way that he does. That he has still loved us and that he sent his son to die for us on the cross. Imperishable is what it calls, to obtain for us. Well, let me go. I'm sorry, this living hope. I just want to touch that again. His great mercy he has caused to be born again to a living hope. This picture that this is not just something that has happened, it's done. This is something that's ongoing. And it's an ongoing thing that we have in Christ through his resurrection. It's through his resurrection. It keeps pointing us to his resurrection. Not to ourselves, not to our good works, not to mankind, but just the resurrection of Christ. It was accomplished for God's good purposes. I want to turn to 2 Timothy just for a second to read a little bit. 2 Timothy 4:8, where it says this. I may start reading. No, I'll preach there. Just as one passage. And it says, In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul's saying the same type of thing that Peter says. We have this in Christ Jesus, that we have this great joy in looking forward to this, that is not anything like we've ever experienced, because everything we know is temporal. Everything we know, all the people we know in our lives, they're here temporarily in this world. Homes we've grown up in and places we've been to, they're gone, some of them. And they're gone forever, and they'll never be back. And it is sad in some ways, but we have an inheritance that is imperishable. And by the way, just to touch on that word inheritance real briefly, it's important for us to understand this in the scheme of how this is written, because generally when we inherit, and when they're speaking of it here, they're speaking of an inheritance that is given through our Father. This is given to us through our Father. And we see this again and again in Scripture, this beautiful picture of we have something that's been already set aside for us, set aside for a time to come. It's reserved in heaven. And it will not fade away. It is there forever. It is there for our joy. Let me go down a little bit further. And it says, imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This wonderful picture here we see, we are protected by God. And we see this throughout Scripture. We see it with Christ at times. We see it with the prophets in the Old Testament. One of my favorites is Daniel's and the stories that we see in Daniel. But there are so many. Paul was protected. Peter was protected. There were people out to kill them all through their ministries. And we don't live like we're protected by God at times, though. And I know that I've seen it in the past year, that many feel that there's not enough we can do to stay alive. Well, I sympathize with you, and I like staying alive too. But it's God who protects us. It is God who numbers our days, and we know this. And we should love that God has numbered our days. It's not a coin toss of any sort. Oh yeah, today, no. It's been written down in eternity. And nothing can hinder that. Who are protected by the power of God through faith. You are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. Well, and when he speaks about that salvation ready, it's not there's another salvation. It's the same salvation. We've already received it, but we will see it and understand it in its fullness at that point. Right now, we're kind of, oh, this is wonderful. We don't know how wonderful this really is at this point. We're just getting little glimmers, just a little side picture of something that's so big. And once it's all revealed, we'll go, wow. Whatever we do. I'm just using that terminology. Wow. This is amazing. And remember when you first became a Christian, if you weren't didn't become a Christian when you were very young, how awestruck you were by all of it. We tend to lose that over time. It's one of the reasons we do need to stay in the Word a lot more, and why we need to stay in prayer more, because we lose it. It all becomes mundane. And there's nothing about the Christian life that should ever really be mundane. Nothing that should ever be, this is boring. We have an opportunity for so many years of our lives to serve God. And I know Noah's brought it up to me, this picture of evangelism, and we need to be evangelistic. We need to reach out because others have reached out to us. And that is a calling of the Christian. And it says in verse 6, in this we greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Let me read down. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while. And I'm going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. And I just want to look at one verse here as well. Chapter 4, verse 12, where he says, well, actually I'm going to read a couple of verses. Beloved, do not be surprised. Beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you are able, you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because of the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. What a wonderful saying or quote this is from Paul's or Peter's writing here to the same people just a little bit later in the letter, reminding them there's yet to be more suffering. There's yet to be more persecution. There will be more trials. And then he tells them what is contrary to all man's thinking. When you face these trials, rejoice. What do we usually do when we face a trial or even a small testing? If it doesn't seem like it's being done for the great goodwill of God and for His kingdom, we usually moan and we groan. Well, I say we. I know I do. I moan and I groan many times for things like this. But we are to rejoice in the work that God is doing, knowing that He is accomplishing His good purposes in all of this, that we get to be players in what He has set into motion. What a great joy that is for us to be able to have that. One of the other passages I wanted to read to you, going back just a tiny bit to verse 5, I wanted to read it then, but I want to read it here because it fits in perfectly with what I just said, was from 1 James 1, 1 through 4. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad. Remember I mentioned that. Greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What a wonderful picture that is, given by two different apostles to the people of God going through the same sort of situation. In fact, probably many of the same exact people. and then moving down. So we see in this, but before I go further, I won't be horribly long in finishing these last verses. What we see is this great and spontaneous work of God being accomplished in the lives of God's people in situations that are far from ideal. And this is the world that we live in. This is the world that they lived in. And there has been, and you know, if you've studied church history or if you studied history at all, you know there's been persecution in every era. Now, sometimes it's greater and sometimes it's less. Sometimes it comes from without the church. Sometimes it comes from within the church. But there is persecution. There are testings. There are trials. At what point do we stop running from them and stop complaining about them? Well, that point is up to you to determine to do so, to do that very thing. Stop running from the work that God is doing. Let me read down from 7 again. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor to revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. There's one passage I just want to read, one verse in here. It's in John 20 and verse 29. And you, most of you know the context, and Jesus said to him, speaking to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see me and yet believe. And this is the same picture that we have. None of us have never been blessed to see Jesus in person like the apostles. But all of us are blessed if we are in Christ, that we will indeed see Jesus in person. But we have to wait. But we have to wait for that. And we are waiting. And we are waiting anxiously. And we are waiting joyfully. Or we should be waiting joyfully. Knowing that even as God puts us through different trials and different testings, they're there for a purpose. They're there to strengthen us. They're there to even allow us to see how far God has brought us. Have you faced certain testings in your life where you've faced it more than once or twice? And at first you fell easily, and then you fell more reluctantly because your faith and your trust in God was becoming stronger. And this is where we're all at in our walks with God, is we are obtaining that outcome of that salvation that God has done. It is full of joy that should be greatly rejoiced with joy inexpressible. How do you do that? I mean, I think we've all felt it at times, just, you know, but this should be our life. You ever see people that radiate Christ? I mean, I'm sure that most of you have met them. I've met people that I've said, man, that person just literally radiates Christ. Because it seems they are so focused on God's kingdom and God's purpose and God's intent, and so uncaring about their own motives, their own desires. They would rather give up a whole evening of something that they had planned if they ever have the opportunity to sit down and talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. They just say, you know, I had something to need to do, but I'm going to put that away because this is more important. Because Christ is always more important. Then in verse 10, he speaks real quickly to, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of grace that would come to you made careful searches, and we know this. We know that these prophets did so. Searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicated that he predicted the sufferings. And we have this in the whole of the Old Testament given to us. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. They weren't doing this for their own good. They were doing it for the church, for the good of God's people. When they preached the gospel, even those who came before Christ preached the gospel of Christ. They preached to that Messiah that was yet to come. And then in the last few verses here, and I'm going to get through these rather quickly, we see, therefore, and I, again, you know me, you know I love the therefores, because he said a whole bunch, and after he says that whole bunch, he says, therefore. Now, because I've said all of this to you, therefore, prepare your minds for action. How do you prepare your minds for action? Here it is. We have it, the whole Word of God. It prepares our minds for action. Different things you can do also. Some people are very good at memorization. That helps. It helps when you don't have to look up stuff so much that it's right there on the top of your head. Some people are good, really good at that. Prepare your minds for action. Basically, prepare your minds for service. Not just to be about your daily life, doing your daily thing. We should be praying every day. It was brought up earlier, to begin each day with prayer. One of our prayers should always be, Lord, bring somebody into my life that I can speak to about you and your goodness. That should be our goal, day to day. Not just to get through the day, not to go to work and make some money and obtain new possessions, but to serve Christ in all that we can. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to live there. It shouldn't be a Sunday thing. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we end up there. But it shouldn't be. Our hope should always be, there should be that brightness. We're going right there. That revelation of Jesus Christ. And we say that in the sense of the fullness of the revelation. And then he says, as obedient children. And there, by the way, in that, he's saying, because you're obedient children, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance. Basically, don't be the person you were before you had a knowledge of who Christ was, before you had a saving knowledge of Christ as your own Savior. Do not be conformed to that. Does it mean you'll never fall back into that? No, probably you will. Most people do. But you're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be obedient children, not disobedient children. But then he says, but instead of being disobedient, but like the Holy One who called you, our God, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. I like that he adds in there, he doesn't say, just be holy yourselves in your behavior, but in all of your behavior. This calls us to be mindful. Whenever I preach things like this, it hurts my heart to reflect on the past week and how I've acted at times. And I'm sure that you've done the same if you've ever even taught a class and you've said, oh man, because hindsight reveals a whole lot to us, and we're just, but we need to be ready. We need to, to fix our minds upon Christ. Not be like we were before. In all of your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is a wonderful passage. There's a whole sermon in that. But that can be seen, I believe, in two different ways. The one, most specifically, is a command. You shall be holy, even as I am holy. But it's also much like the Ten Commandments are to us. Although they are Ten Commandments, they are also promises to us of what is to be. We are called to be holy, and we strive to be holy. Sometimes we're more holy than we are other times, so to speak. And I say in our behavior, we're always set apart for God. That's already been done. But we need to be holy in our behavior. We need to set our minds upon Christ. We need to set our minds upon that day when He will be revealed in His fullness to us. When this world no longer carries sin with it, but has been restored to the new heaven, to the new earth, and where our Christ will remain forever and ever. And we will have the joy of being a sinless people who enjoy His presence. Let's pray. Our Father God, again, we thank You today. We thank You for the blessing of being able to have Your Word, to have it before us. We thank You, Lord, that we don't just have it on Sunday morning, that we have it throughout the week, that we can read it whenever we want. We don't live in a country that forbids it. And we thank You for that, Lord. We forget about that sometimes, that we live in a country where we can still come and worship You and rejoice before You and proclaim Your goodness. And we know there are many who don't. So help us to be thankful. Lord, help us to be encouraged. Help us to be motivated to serve You more fully this week than we did last week. And Lord, that each week would follow in the same light. Lord, help us to love You more than we do today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.